This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Yeah, I had a tough time with this month's previews.
I did too.
I don't know if it's the time of year when there's not many number ones or other stuff coming out. I mean, this stuff, what, that ships November?
September. Yeah, November.
So maybe there's just, they time it not to have much coming out that month.
I don't know if it has something to do with the holidays, so I'll be curious to see what next month is like, because that'll be the October book for the December releases. I'll be curious to see if it's the same way. If things are going to slow down towards the end of the year.
Maybe.
I don't remember that being that way in past years, that the last 2 months were slow on new releases, but.
Well, I don't know. Does it kind of make sense? I mean, you've got something new coming out, but everybody's distracted by the holidays, or they're saving up their money for the holidays. So. You don't spend as much?
It does make sense. I just don't. I guess I've never paid that close of attention, so I don't know if it does that or not. So I will find out this year.
Yeah. Well, I just found it a challenge. I've got my list. I've got my previews goodies that I think, but I think it's going to be a little bit shorter than we've had in the past.
Okay. Well, I've got mine in it, but I ended up picking some items that I normally would not pick.
Well, you see, I thought about that, but then I'm like, I'm supposed to be picking stuff that I'd be interested in, and that's the whole point. So I'm not going to pick stuff just to pick stuff to fill it out. So I guess I took a different approach. If there's nothing intriguing, there's nothing intriguing. I think you're going to have some off months on occasion. So, but that's okay.
I actually did find some things I'm interested in this. Now, whether I'm going to get them or not is another question, but I did find things that at least interested me and might interest people who are listening. So,
okay.
I didn't just grab stuff to fill up. No.
Yeah. So, let's see. We have the September's preview for stuff shipping in November. We've got a nice Firefly cover on one end, and on the back side we have from Images Middle West. So,
right.
This must be one of the off months when DC doesn't get a cover.
Well, do they get covers now that they got the separate catalog? I'm not going to go back.
Well, you know, I heard that was one of the things because DC backed previews in the distribution wars of the early 90s. That part of the deal was, I think, 10 out of the 12 or 9 out of the 12 covers have to be DC.
Okay.
And I think, and that's why originally Marvel went to their own separate catalog, is because DC always got the premier, you know, cover on previews. So, but that may be changing now since DC's getting their own previews. You know, when comparing the two, I actually prefer how DC does theirs to Marvel's. I just find DC's easier to read and figure out. Marvel's is kind of, I don't know. Well, they also like to throw in a bunch of like stuff at the back that I don't think DC does.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm intrigued to hear you say that because I felt the same way, that DC's was easier to read. But then I also wondered, well, is that just because I'm more familiar with DC than I am with Marvel?
Well, maybe. It's like I'm saying, okay, so I've just randomly opened up here the Marvel one. And first of all, Marvel puts all their description and everything down at the bottom. And, you know, and while you got DC's, it's over on the left or the right, depending on which page it is. But then you read Marvel's, and they have, like, it looks like they focus on the higher font or the larger font on the artist and the writer, you know, cover by and the variant cover by. And then they have, like, a two or three sentence description. But here I'm looking at the DC. I mean, they still give some big fonts to the artist and the writer. But then it looks like I think you get more of a description.
I tend to agree. Yeah.
And maybe it's, and you know, it looks like Marvel likes to do bullet points and DC likes to give, I don't know, a little script. So I don't know. I just look at this stuff in Marvel and you just don't, I don't know what I'm getting on the interior. I mean, I don't know anything more about the story in a bunch of it. While the DC, I guess, is, you know, more of a pitch to try to get you to read it. I don't know.
Yeah. The only other thing I noticed was that the DC catalog, the page numbers are clear. And they print a page number on every page, whereas with the Marvel, it's usually on the.
Looks like it's on the odd. Yeah, you don't get the even numbers. I hadn't even noticed that until you brought it up. Now I won't be able not to notice it.
Sorry.
And I'll be like, why don't they number these?
I don't know. Somebody in their design department came up with that. So.
I guess. It's all marketing. How do we get people to buy more comics? Which isn't too difficult with me.
No, nor me.
Actually, I've been looking at my list. I'm going to have to like pare it back. I've been getting a lot lately, and I've actually found that I get so much in. It's like I start stressing a little bit. When am I going to have time to read all this? When am I going to find time?
I'm doing a lot of the same.
So may just have to switch things up a bit. But anyway, you want to dive into some previews?
Absolutely.
All right. So Premier Publishers, specifically Image. So what did you like out of Image this month?
My first offering, and this is on page 50.
And I wonder how much we're going to overlap.
Well, that's going to be curious, especially since we both had struggled with things to find. So.
Yeah, okay.
On page 50, The Terrible Elizabeth Dumb Against the Devils in Suits. This is a one-shot. It's not a series. It's just a one-shot of 64 pages. The writer and artist is someone called Arabson, who I'm not at all familiar with. And it's a translation. So this is a foreign comic. And it's listed as fantasy, crime, and mystery. And I'll read the solicit. Elizabeth Dumb is a strong, rebellious girl who's determined to make her own way. Good thing, too, because her father long ago promised her to the devil, and he's come to claim what's his. This is a story that will haunt you long after you've turned the final page. Part horror adventure, part surreal dreamscape, part this original graphic novella features the amazing work of new Brazilian sensation Arabson, with translation by Eisner Award winner James Robinson.
Nah, sounds interesting.
And I like what kind of got me interested in this is at the bottom, there's a little teaser that they put in here. It says, if you liked Kill Bill and Kick-Ass, you'll love Elizabeth Dumb Against the Devils in Suits.
Okay, and the art kind of reminds me like a Paul Pope.
It does, yeah, now that you mention it.
When I first looked at that, that's what I thought it was, and I had to go look at the artist, and I'm like, nope. So he must have had an influence on him.
Very possibly.
No, but very interesting. So, okay, so my first one out of Image is on page 44, and it's The Outer Darkness. So it's a Skybound, which I haven't been too much in, but... You know, this one is kind of like a science, looks like it's a science fiction and horror occult. So it's like mankind has colonized the galaxy, but during our interstellar travels, we discovered a terrifying secret out in the outer darkness of space. And outer darkness is capitalized. Join Captain Joshua Rigg and the crew of the starship Charon as they encounter demonic possessions, hauntings, cosmic horror, and more. So it seems to me it's like science fiction encountering, you know, your horror, like your Lovecraftian horror, and I guess they're trying to explain it, or maybe they just accept it and they're just challenging it. I don't know. Seems interesting to me.
Yes, I originally picked this one as I was going through, and then I deselected it because I knew you would, so I wanted to get something different. Well, I saw that science fiction, I'm like, okay, Dennis is going to be on this. I went with...
Yeah, it's got my two favorite things, like science fiction and more cosmic horror.
Very good.
I love the look. I do like to love Lovecraftian horror.
Yes, I do too.
So So what's your, did you have another one in
I did. Image? And I'm guessing this is where we're going to both of us pick the same thing. This is on page 54, The Warning.
Yeah, I picked that too.
By writer and artist Edward LaRoche. An enormous machine slowly materializes in a major West Coast city. Who sent it and why is a mystery. Understood only by the malevolent beings gliding silently towards Earth through the inky vastness of space. In response, a multinational combat brigade called Gladiator 2-6 is deployed. Outfitted with the next generation military science and weapons, they're tasked with stopping the extraterrestrial threat that emerges.
Yeah, I mean, how do they know they're malevolent? I guess they are, but yeah. Something's slowly materializing and you got malevolent beings gliding silently towards you. I'm intrigued.
It would be a very short series if they weren't malevolent, so I think that's probably how.
But they show up and they're friendly and they just take everybody to the with new technology and everything.
Yes, and they all go to Starbucks.
Yeah, I guess that would make for a pretty boring story.
Agreed.
So, I'll you know what? I sit there and I'm probably going to get these two, take them through the first arc and see because I've, you know, both intrigue me. It used to be I didn't get much Image, but, you know, now I'm just seeing a lot of the stuff that Image is putting out and I don't know. It's like I just want to sample it all, but there's so much. That's why I've been kind of doing some trade paperback waiting for a lot of these Image things coming out lately, but.
I understand.
Some good stuff, not back in the day when the Image stuff was crap.
It's been varied over the years, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So Dark Horse.
Yes, our next premiere, Dark Horse. Let me flip the pages and get there. All right.
First thing I had was on page 98.
What?
Dr. Horrible, Best Friends Forever by Josh Whedon. I'm not really familiar with Dr. Horrible. I have not read much of the other earlier stuff, but it says Dr. Horrible's back and he's brought his best friend with him, Captain Hammer, ? The time stream has been breached and who's to blame but the Mrs. of Time herself, Hourglass. Things are a bit peculiar in the seemingly present day with arch nemesis Dr. Horrible and Captain Hammer teaming up. This looks extremely comical and funny.
And it's a 10-year anniversary, which I would mean that I should know something from 10 years ago that I don't.
Yeah. Like I say, I'm not familiar with earlier works.
I'm not either, but it looks like, what, is those character designs based on some of the actors from Firefly?
Could be. I don't can tell you for certain, but it's very possible.
Yeah, I can't think of the actors' names, but they pop up in a bunch of Whedon stuff, and I think it is.
Okay, I trust you on this.
So, it could be, could not be, but anyway. All right, so my first pick from Dark Horse is on the previous page to that. Alien 3, which I'm usually not a big proponent of the Dark Horse adaptions of the Alien or the Predator series, but then I got to reading this, this is supposed to be the original screenplay for Alien 3. So, I really liked the first Alien. Aliens, you know, the second one, Aliens, was just great. And then it just kind of went off the rail with, like, Alien 3 after that. But if this is what it was originally supposed to intended to be, hey, you know, I'm kind of want to maybe give it a shot because, you know, I know how much I enjoyed the first two, and this is supposed to be a continuation. I mean, the biggest problem for me on the third Aliens movie is, like, at the end of Aliens, you know, Ripley has saved, I don't know, two or three of them. I forget exactly who, the little girl and one of the Marines. And then at the start of Alien 3, they're both dead. So it was a big letdown. Yeah, Newt and Hicks. So apparently this is what it was supposed to be, and I'm intrigued. So Alien 3. Really want to try to see that. I don't know how many issues it's going to be.
I mean, the thing I found most interesting is the writer, William Gibson, who's written some of the great cyberpunk novels like Neuromancer.
Yep, that's another reason why I think it could be pretty good.
Yeah, I almost picked that one, but then again, I thought, well, that's going to be a Dennis pick. That's going to be a Dennis pick. So.
Oh, you got to pick what you like. You can't just pick stuff because you think it's going to be a. We think we're going to pick each other's.
I did, but I'm. If I found. Okay, way I approach it. If I find two things that I like pretty much equally, and I know you're going to pick one, I'll choose the other. Just for variety.
All right. So what's your second Dark Horse pick?
On page 121, Green River Killer, a true detective story, hardcover. This is actually a second edition. This is a re-release, but they're re-releasing this one in a hardcover. And it's 240 pages, 7x10-inch hardcover. The story of one of America's most notorious serial killers and the true detective who cracked the case. I like things like this. Yeah, they're reality-based instead of, you know, pure fiction, but I like the way that a lot of these things are done, and this looks really interesting to me.
Yeah, could be. It's a hardcover, 240 pages for $24.99. So what is it, a dime a page? Penny a page?
Yeah, no, a penny. Pretty reasonable.
Yeah, dime a page. Nope, not bad at all. So my second one also actually happens to be a trade paperback, and it's on page 112, Modern Fantasy by Rafer Roberts.
Ah.
So I didn't get the single issues of this, but here's the trade paperback coming out. So I know he based it on actual D&D manuals from back in the day and everything, so I was kind of keeping an eye for it. I passed over it when it came out in single issues, but I'm probably going to check it out now in the trade paperback because, you know, I like Rafer's stuff, and, you know, I for sure know that he was trying to sit there and pull the old rule books and everything like that to kind of base some stuff on. I think it'd be good. So, let's see, what's the description? A young ranger woman who came to the city with dreams of adventure, her drug-dealing reptilian wizard roommate, and her boisterous dwarf maiden BFF embark on a modern-day quest to save the world while struggling to keep their crappy day jobs and pay off their student loans. Joined by a thief, an elf, a cleric, and a barbarian, the ragtag group are embroiled in an adventure involving magical amulets, the mafia, and a cult. So, what's not to like?
I agree. It's going to be good, I think.
Yeah. Now, I do want to backtrack a bit. For some reason, on page 109, I was intrigued by this miniseries called Lightstep, but the page they selected, I can't figure out what's going on or anything, so I'm like, the description and everything, it looks interesting, but I'm not quite sure.
I don't know either, just by looking at it, glancing at it. Milo Slavkovic. Not familiar with that creator either.
So that was one I was thinking about, but I just couldn't match up the page they took out with the description, and so, okay. All right. Now we're on to DC.
Yes.
So it's just Batman, Batman, Batman?
No.
What?
I don't have a Batman selection in this month's DC catalog.
Ooh. Oh, there you go.
Anyway, what is your first one in DC? Go ahead.
Oh, my first one. It's just straight up. There's no denying what it was going to be. The Green Lantern number one, written by Grant Morrison.
Absolutely. I agree.
I am so looking forward to this. I've like really loved Green Lantern from way back in the day and everything. And I'm sorry to see his current series in. But it's getting restarted with Grant Morrison. He's going to be actual space cop and everything. So, this is going to be good. It's just, how many issues is Grant Morrison actually going to write?
That's the question. I'm really looking forward to it as well. And I've not ever been much of a Green Lantern fan. Certainly not as much as other characters. But, yeah, Grant Morrison. Yeah, it's going to be brilliant. As long as he stays on it. But who knows? Again.
Well, if he gets bored with it pretty quick.
Well, or DC changes their mind on certain things like they tend to do. But yeah, I really looked forward to that. And let's see, who's the art on this? Liam Sharp, who did some work on Wonder Woman early on in the Rebirth. And of course, number one, I'm going to get the variant cover by Frank Quitely, one of my favorite artists.
Again, what's not like to like?
Right. Well, that was one of my two choices as well. The first one I chose is back on page 5, American Carnage.
Oh.
By Brian Hill, who has done a little bit of work on Detective Comics recently. Art by Leandro Fernandez, with a variant cover by Rafael Albuquerque, another one of my favorite artists. A new thrilling crime saga from the writer of Wildstorm, Michael Cray, and the artist of The Old Guard. Disgraced FBI agent Richard Wright is offered a chance for redemption when his old mentor sends him undercover to infiltrate a white supremacist group believed to be responsible for the death of a fellow agent. Sucker for crime sagas. I'm a sucker for those.
Crime, crime, crime. Just can't get enough, can you?
Nope, I can't.
Danny, you know what? I really liked the... Okay, so it's the artist from The Old Guard. Yeah, I kind of liked that series when it came out.
Yeah. I think it's going to be good. Those are two that immediately stuck out for me. Definitely in my wheelhouse.
All right, well, my second pick from DC is on page 77, so it's a new offering of a trade paperback, but it's The Justice League, The World's Greatest Superheroes by Alex Ross and Paul Dini. So when these originally came out, they were in Treasury Edition size. So they are Treasury-sized editions with Alex Ross art, and I got them at the time, and they're still just great. And I think putting them all together, I mean, it's hard, though, to store and keep Treasury editions of anything. So what's nice is you get this this trade paperback, which was 8x10 or 8x11. So standard, but they're all there, and it's all Alex Ross art and everything, and it's just beautiful goodness. From and I think this was, when did these come out? Early 2000s? So, late 90s? But again, Alex Ross art on the Justice League.
Nice.
And then they're all written by Paul Dini. Good stuff there. I highly recommend it.
I agree. All right, so that takes care of DC.
All right, we can move that. IDW!
Yes. My first selection in IDW is on page 162, Tsukuban Turbo.
Yeah, I looked at that one, thought it was interesting. Japanese girl gangs.
Shelby and her three best friends on the streets of Brooklyn, and everyone in the neighborhood knows not to mess with Tsukuban tribe. Inspired by the Japanese girl gangs of the 70s, 1970s. So that kind of intrigued me. And then I got really intrigued by reading the bottom. The writer on this, which I didn't realize, I'd forgotten. Sylvain Runberg wrote the adaptation for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo for Hard Case Crime. And I realize Sylvain is writing an adaptation of a novel, but still, I like the writing on that. So this kind of, that increased the interest for me on this book.
Well, I went the nostalgic trip on my IDW because, you know, IDW does all the licensing and everything. So it's always a nostalgia trip. But I went with GoBots 1 just because I remember GoBots from the day. And I don't think they translate as well as the Transformers do, but so I thought it would be interesting to see, hey, let's see how they do GoBots. So, I mean, you sit there and you kind of read a description and it looks like they're, you know, the GoBots are out in public. They aren't trying to hide. They're integrated into society and they're just doing stuff. But, you know, they're, I don't know, lower tier Transformers. So should be interesting. So it's just totally nostalgia on there. It could, you know, I could read it and it could just be hot trash, but you know what? It's GoBots!
It's GoBots, yes, of course.
It's 80s toys goodness. And I think actually GoBots came out before Transformers.
Nice.
So the original's there, so. What's your second pick from the IDW?
This is on page 167, The Black Crown Omnibus, Volume 1. And this is actually, Black Crown has been putting out different series, but they've also been putting out once a quarter, a quarterly issue that has a compendium of different stories from different writers and some commentary on the imprint in the series. And they are going to collect those quarterly, I think the first four quarterlies into this omnibus. It's a trade paperback, but it's, you know, $25, but it's 256 pages. And this is actually an advanced solicit for a December release, so it won't be out in November. It's a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really, the last two issues, the two series that have come out from Black Crown, Euthanauts and House Amok, I think have been two of the better series. They seem to be maybe hitting a really good stride with the imprint.
Hmm. So maybe I'm going to have to get this anthology, this omnibus, because it looks like it also has the full first issues of Kid Lobotomy, Assassinistas, and Punk's Not Dead. So yes. Is it the first issues or is it the first series?
All that's plus the first issues. Of
those two. So you don't get the whole story?
No, you don't.
Okay. Well, I guess it still is a good way to kind of taste those. I think I started Kid Lobotomy and I've read Assassinistas, but not Punk's Not Dead.
Right. It may be a good way, say, if you're thinking about Black Crown, but now you don't want to go out and buy all the trades or collect all the series, then this may be a way of at least getting a taste of what they're trying to do.
Yeah, no, looks good for that. So I'm going a little highbrow with my pick. I really wanted to pick what was on page 169, but that looks like it's just an ad, and you can't really tell what it's going to be. But I really wanted what was on page 169, but I guess we'll find out next month.
Okay.
But all it says is December, and it's a picture of the Rocketeer's helmet.
Right.
So that's all we know. But anyway, on the next page, the Walter Simonson's The Mighty Thor Artist Edition. Oh, oh. With Beta Ray Bill on the cover.
Nice.
I've actually thought about maybe trying to get that run of Thor, and it just looks like it just be, and then it's like, you know, so there's that one, but then you see the next one after that is the second part, The Mighty Thor, The Return of Beta Ray Bill, Artist Edition. So, 176 page artist editions of what I think is about the best Thor run. So, and I know I can get that, you know, get that discount ordering directly from Cowabunga. So, I've recently gotten two artist editions or gallery editions, and I kind of really like them. So, hey, I may have found something else now to, like, throwing money at. I still haven't opened up that Strangers in Paradise one. I got to do that. But yeah, IDW can definitely do these artist editions books. They're great. High quality. Just beautiful books. Beautiful, beautiful.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay, I will take us then, I guess, to Marvel.
The Marvel.
And I'll let you go first, because I really only got one choice.
Oh, do you? Well, for me, there's only one thing that just kind of overshadows everything in Marvel, and it's the return of the Uncanny X-Men. So Uncanny X-Men number one.
Nice.
That is my Marvel run that I collect, and I've enjoyed, and I first got into comics back in the late 80s, early 90s, was Uncanny X-Men. So it hasn't been the same in a while, and they kind of, you know, they retired the title several years ago, so it's nice to kind of have an Uncanny back. Well, let's see if they can recapture the magic that was Uncanny X-Men.
Well, my choice here, and this is on page 20, but you can't see that because they don't put the page number, so I have to look at 21 and go back one page, is The Vision, 6-issue miniseries. When The Vision decided to live a normal life, he built a wife, son, and a daughter, a family, only to watch it nearly all crumble. I think this was written in a series by Tom King, actually. I think that was the last thing he did with Marvel before he got the Batman gig at DC. Mm-hmm. And that was some pretty damn good writing. And it got a lot of good reviews. And so this is a follow-up to that story by Chelsea Kane and Mark Monin writer. Odd Coke is the artist. So this is sort of a follow-up to that other series.
Nice.
It looked different for me. And it's not the typical Marvel.
Yep. Well, I've been on a Punisher kick lately, so my second pick from Marvel, and it's part of the MK 20th anniversary, the Marvel Knights 20th anniversary, and this is also a December silhouette that's coming out early. But on page 122, which you have to go to page 123 and go back one, is the Marvel Knights Punisher The Complete Collection, but it's the Garth Ennis collection. So it's Marvel Knights Punisher by Garth Ennis, Complete Collection, Volume 1, trade paperback. 456 pages of Garth Ennis goodness, where it's penciled by Steve Dillon, which some people don't like Steve Dillon, and I don't know why, because he just was an awesome artist, and Doug Brathwaite.
Nice.
So, I mean, these were like the I think this all came out after that whole fiasco of Frank Castle coming back from the dead, and he had angelic powers or angelic weapons, and he was on a mission for God and all this other stuff that was a bunch of crap, and I think this brought him back. Oh, yeah. So it's got the Punisher series 1 through 12 from 2000, and the Punisher 1 through 5 from 2001, and Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe, and just all kinds of goodness in it. So it's $35, 456 pages. Just Garth Ennis Punisher goodness.
Very cool. Nice. I like that. I'm not a big Punisher fan either, but that looks interesting. So. Okay, Marvel wrapped up. Moves us on to Dynamite.
And that's going to be quick, because I'll tell you right now, I could not find anything new in Dynamite that intrigued me this month.
Well,
I like that James Bond Origin issue 3 covers look awesome yet again, but I don't want to talk about that every month.
No, I know, but they do look awesome. Well, I did pick, there's a new James Bond ongoing that they've got. This is on page 180. They're starting up by writer Greg Pak. Planet Hulk, Met Cadet, some other things he's written. I know he's been known to be a pretty good writer. And I have liked everything that Dynamite has done with James Bond over the last about 2 years, 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see that I won't like this one as well. It's one of my favorite characters in all of fiction, comics or otherwise.
You know, as much as that, I've never read any of the novels.
Oh, I have. They're interesting. They're
They're
not like the movies, you know. They're quite a bit different. You know, same basic stories, but you get a lot more of a different feel for the character.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought that was interesting. Looks like you're starting up a new Betty Page series.
Yes.
Which, you know, has some good pinup covers from back in the day. There's a new Battlestar Galactica classic series starting, but
that was my other one that I picked. That looked pretty interesting. I prefer the reimagined Battlestar Galactica, but kind of like you with GoBots, you know, this takes me back to my youth when the very first Battlestar Galactica came out.
Mm-hmm. I just read some of what they did with this, and I couldn't get excited because I don't think anybody's done the show right, the original classic one.
Right. I have not read much of comics based on the original show, so maybe that's just what I'm hoping for, that they'll do.
Yeah, but that cover, the cover B looks sweet, though.
Yes, it does. It does.
And I like how they got that classic banner at the top from, looks like a 70s banner.
Right.
Reminiscent of the Marvel covers from the back of the day.
It is, very much so. I agree. So those are my two picks. Well, no, I mean, I really like that. The James Bond I'm going to like. I know I will.
Yeah, and then they got the second issue of the Lone Ranger coming out.
Oh, yes.
But then you get those James Bond origin covers.
Yes, I know. I just salivate over those every month when this thing comes out.
I mean, look at that cover E.
I know.
Ah,
who's the cover E? That's Bob Q. Yeah,
And then that Lone Ranger 2 cover.
Yep.
John Cassidy Tonto.
Mm-hmm. So, nice stuff.
I don't want to sit there and say I don't like anything Dynamite, because they're putting out two or three things that I am really excited for. It's just, you can only talk about it so much.
Right. I agree. I'm understanding. So, we move on to Boom.
All right. Yes. And Boom, I only had one pick. So, again, but as I talked earlier, it's what's on the cover, so Firefly. So I never watched the original series when it came out, so I came on afterwards, but I really liked the universe of Firefly and the premise and everything like that, and I've really enjoyed, I think Dark Horse was doing them, so I guess the license has moved over to Boom. Poor Dark Horse. I think they're just losing everything. But this kind of tells the origin of the two of the main characters about back in the war and the brown coats and everything, so this should be pretty good. And plus, there's a kick-ass Sekowitz cover.
Yes. Bill Sienkiewicz, yes. That's a nice one. I like that.
And then above us, that J.G. Jones cover.
Yep. That Sienkiewicz is an incentive. I wonder what the price is going to be on that.
It depends.
We'll
find out when we get our Cowabunga order sheets.
Yes. Should be coming up pretty soon, I'm thinking.
Well, you know, it doesn't say on there like 1 in 10 or 1 in 100 or anything, but
right.
We'll see. Oh, well, you know what? Hey, look, one of them. So if you read over there, it's like that one cover, it's an incentive. You can get a version where it's incentive and it's signed by Joss Whedon.
Oh. That one will be,
that'll be expensive.
more than your $3.99.
Yes. So that's my only Boom selection. So what do you find in Boom?
Well, that was one of them, Firefly.
Oh, okay.
This is also written by Greg Pak, who is writing that James Bond that we just talked about. The other one is over on page 216, The Empty Man by Cullen Bunn.
Yeah, I saw that and thought about it, but it just didn't grip me.
With Jesus Ervas and this new ongoing series, the nation is in the grip of a terrible pandemic. The so-called empty man disease causes insanity and violence. Government quarantines are necessary. One of the afflicted is Melissa Carey, and the next step should be to quarantine her, but those who enter quarantine are never seen again. Melissa's family won't let that happen, and all they have to do is care for her, keep her worsening condition a secret. The cover of this thing is macabre and menacing. I loved that cover on this, which is one of the things that got me. And the art looks pretty good from the example they give here. I really like it. It's different, very dark, and hard to put a description to, but that looks really good. Cullen Bunn is doing so much stuff right now, and a lot of good stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, that takes care of, well, that's the end of our premier publishers, so that didn't take...
Yeah, that's the premieres. Now we get on to where we really struggle, or I really struggled, as in everybody else. It's like, there just didn't seem to be much coming out this month. I mean, there's a lot, but there's nothing new coming out.
Right. Yeah. And that's, you know, a couple of things I picked are actually, yeah, trade paperbacks and anthologies.
Mm-hmm.
And I did find a couple of things that looked interesting. The first one was on page 249. This is from Action Lab. 12 Devils Dancing, Volume 1.
Oh, I think I've heard Martin talking about that.
Yeah. Erica Schultz, Dave Acosta, and the cover art on this is, again, Bill Sienkiewicz. For years, a serial killer dubbed the Crypto Killer mutilated women and left cryptic ciphers for their bodies. FBI Special Agent Callum Cooper was one of them to solve the ciphers and catch the killer. Or did he? Now retired from the FBI because of a fatal diagnosis, the real killer emerges with a new mystery for Callum, and his past comes back to haunt him. So again, crime stuff, especially serial killer. I'm intrigued. I'm on board.
Mm-hmm. Well, my first pick is actually on that same page, but it's up in the corner there. I like that Aberrant Volume 1 trade paperback.
Yes, I saw that as well.
So, David, a U.S. Army Special Operations Commander, distraught after losing his entire unit to a superhuman attack, wages an absolutely brutal one-man war on the eccentric billionaire and former superhero Lance Corddry, whom he believes is ultimately responsible. That is until Nelson Little, the head of a clandestine paramilitary outfit called Article 13, presents David with evidence that Corddry may be a patsy and David's men were killed as part of a vast and twisted government military conspiracy. Armed with this new information, David must dismantle the machine of a said conspiracy piece by human piece while coming to terms with his own mysteriously emerging superpowers and wrestling with sincere doubts about Little's trustworthiness. So, you got ex-military, billionaire superheroes, some tragic mission, and government conspiracies.
Interesting. Billionaire superheroes. That's something unique to comics. We've never had that.
Eccentric billionaire superheroes.
Yes, oh gosh. That's clever. Clever idea.
It's an eccentric thing.
Yes, exactly. Very good. Next, I go to page 252. This is under Aftershock.
Yeah, you picked the same one I did from Aftershock.
Yeah, Witchhammer.
But it's a graphic novel.
It's a graphic novel. It's not a series. It's an original graphic novel. 64 pages, but that's pretty short for a graphic novel. Actually, that's a little less than 3 issues of normal content on a comic book. But still, Cullen Bunn, who's, like I said, he's becoming very prolific. He's almost getting on the level of a Matt Kent or Jeff Lemire as far as stuff he's putting out. But,
yep.
The solicit on this is Witch. The word conjures images of hags in black robes and crooked hats, standing over cauldrons of bubbling brew. But witches are among us, and we do not realize it. They are our friends and neighbors. They are our family members. They are our idols. And someone is murdering them. Agents Frontenac and Guinness are on the killer's trail, but as they delve deeper into the hidden magical world around them, they're haunted by a terrifying question. Is this killer doing the right thing? That'll be out November 28th is the date on that.
Mm-hmm.
Showing on the solicit.
Some good Thanksgiving reading.
Yes. Where do you go next?
All right. So for me, as we flip through, I don't have anything else in Aftershock.
I don't either.
And I really wanted to find something in Ahoy Comics, but there was nothing new.
Nope, you're right.
But I found interesting on page 266, because I'm a big Edgar Rice Burroughs fan, and I really like literature from that time, is Carson of Venus, The Flames Beyond Number One. So, I don't know. I just love that science fiction and fantasy from that Victorian era.
All right.
Like H.G. Wells and everything, and so here's another adaption, and I always found it fascinating how they all thought all the different planets in the solar system had life on them, and, Venus would be jungle, and how Mars would have everything, and they developed these cultures and these stories, and somehow Earthmen would end up there, and they'd be these great heroes, so this is another one of those. And, so it's a nostalgic trip for me back into, I just love classic science fiction, especially Victorian. And, that's where this kind of takes you. So I'm interested to see how they did this.
Too terribly big on Edgar Rice Burroughs, but that looks like a good adaptation of some of his stuff. Well, I go back a previous page on page 265. I thought this looked intriguing. If Anthology Horror, issue number one. This is from Alterna Comics. So it's a 224 pages, black and white comic of various writers and authors. If the world itself has helped the impossible become possible. 2018's anthology features stories with a focus on suspenseful, the thrilling, and the pulse-pounding, all things horror. Featuring a vault of creators from across the world, this anthology boasts stories that will leave you sleeping with the lights on. If you like horror, that looks like it might be a pretty good. And at $15 for 224 pages, pretty reasonable price.
Yeah.
What should you expect from Alterna?
Mm-hmm. All right, so my next one, and we're kind of getting out of the story realm, is on page 284. And I've actually got an earlier copy of this, but I highly recommend getting Alan Moore's Writing for Comics Volume 1. It's $5.95. It's 48 pages, but this is where Alan Moore sits there and puts down his process for writing comics. And it's great. It is very insightful. This makes you appreciate the medium even more, and just gives you some insight when you're reading stuff on, what writers and everybody's trying to do, and so you can appreciate, their work. So I highly recommend it. I mean, $5.95, it's a good read.
Yeah, I saw this. I didn't select it, but I'm going to get it for that price because I don't have an earlier edition, but I've heard of the book before, but I just haven't gotten it, but I'm not going to pass up that price for Alan Moore always intrigues me.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about eccentric. I mean, he wrote the book on eccentric, but I'm going to get that. All right. My next selection, we're going over to page 288. This is in Black Mask, Snap, Flash, Hustle. Writer is Pat Shand. The cover artist is Emily Pearson. Haley Morey, a downtrodden alternative model, happens upon a secret society of elite models in New York City that are using their platforms to sell narcotics. Seeing a possible escape from a lifetime of crushing debt, Haley becomes involved and works her way up the ranks, making new alliances and enemies alike while getting a taste of power she never knew she craved. Stylish new crime thriller. See, man, again, this is...
I sense a theme. There's a theme.
Yeah. Well, this month, particularly this month, yeah, it's the things that are interesting to me are the crime stories, but...
Well, that is the season, right?
Yeah, it is. So I'll be getting that. That looks good.
Okay. Well, my next one is on page 290, and this is actually more of an art book. So I was very intrigued. This drawing from history, the forgotten art of Fortunio Madania. I probably totally butchered his name the three times I tried to say it.
I think you got the number of syllables correct. But,
but this is, he was an illustrator from the 20th century. But he did a lot of stuff from antiquity, Roman, British history. He did illustrations for Kipling, Edgar Rice Burroughs, some World War I illustrations. I mean, he even did illustrations for The Sphere for Michael Crichton and other paintings and everything. So I never associated the name with whoever did these, but I did recognize some of the art when I was kind of flipping through the book online and all that. So, it's an art book, so it's a little more expensive, but it looks gorgeous.
It does. I saw that. I looked at it.
And it's history. How can you not like history?
I agree. Well, going over to page 305, my first of two books from Drawn and Quarterly that I picked.
Ooh.
First one is, this is a reissue of a book that came out several years ago. Blankets, a graphic novel by Craig Thompson. This is one of my very favorite graphic novels. And it's a story of a young man coming of age in the confidence to express his creative voice. It's, from what I understand, it's somewhat autobiographical of Craig Thompson's life, sort of a memoir of a Midwestern boy who's raised in a evangelical religious household and goes to camp, and he meets this young girl, becomes his first sweetheart, and it's just sort of the story of his coming of age. You know, the pain that I've involved of growing up, especially as a teenage boy, it's very much comic veritas, so a lot of people won't like this. But I just thought it's a damn good story, and the art is a more simplistic style than a lot of people are used to and they'll like, but it fits the story, and I'm not going to say it's like this, but if you're the type of person, if you liked, say, Lemire's Essex County, this is of a similar nature. The two stories are completely dissimilar, but that kind of gives you an idea of what you're reading. But it's a long book. I mean, it's nearly 600 pages and $30 for this soft cover issue. But if you've never read it, you really might want to give this a try because it's one of the better graphic novels written in the last 30 years, certainly, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Nice. So my next book, we have to go back to through page 300, and it's from Canterbury Classics, and it's a graphic adaptation of Sun Tzu's The Art of War. So I've read it, and I've always seen, you know, where it's just prose, but this here is where they've actually adapted it to a graphic novel. And so you can sit there and you see battle scenes and stuff portrayed, acting on the actual lessons from the book. So you can it basically says so that readers can envision how military goals are achieved using principles from the 5th century BC.
Gosh, I completely missed that. I didn't even see that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, to take the Art of War and to put it in a visual format.
Right.
So you can actually see how he's talking about doing this stuff, because some of it's, you know, is, he's telling stories and all that, and he's using, you know, other representations, but it's, you know, how you move an army and things. And so this is a visual representation of it. So I find that very intriguing, and I'm actually probably going to get that.
I
mean, for 1999.
Yeah. I completely missed that, and I'm marking that down because I'm fascinated by that. Damn, that's fascinating. Okay, gosh, good find. Glad you pointed that out, because I would have not seen that.
Hey, that's why we do this.
Yep.
And just to kind of, you know, take another one. So my next book is actually on page 301 over there, and it's that under Cinebook, and it's Distant Worlds, Volume 1, Episode 1. I just saw the cover, and it kind of gives me that early 1980s kind of science fiction look.
Yes.
And then reading it, it's like, accompanied by a mysterious alien, a young man freshly arrived on wild planet Altair sets out on a fascinating coming-of-age quest to find his father. 18-year-old Paul, his mother, and his sister land on Altair 4, a recently established human colony. They expect to be reunited with Paul's father there and start a new life, but he doesn't show up to welcome them at the spaceport. Later, they are rescued from a gang of thugs by a Stefanerk, a member of a sentient alien species, an encounter that will prove invaluable to Paul when he decides to go and look for his father.
Yeah, I looked at that one. I thought that was pretty cool looking as well.
I mean, the cover drew me in, and then reading it and everything. So
nice.
I like the looks of that.
Well, I said I had two Drawn and Quarterly books. My second one is on page 306. It's called Love That Bunch, hardcover by Aileen Kaminsky Crum.
You know what? And I picked that one also.
Robert Crumb's wife. She's a damn good artist. She gets overshadowed by him a lot, but I really find her fascinating and her story is fascinating. and this is sort of a talks about her coming of age in San Francisco and the hippie culture of the 60s. It's really interesting stuff. And it's like it's hardcover, 8x11, 208 pages for $30. Be curious to see what Cowabunga discounts it for.
Yep. I picked that one. It looks good.
All right. What next do you have?
I did two in a row, so why don't you do two in a row?
Okay. Well, I picked one out of Fantagraphics, another anthology. This is on page 314. Doctor of Horror and Other Stories. This is an anthology of stuff from Tales of the Crypt and Haunt of Fear. Anyway, 50s EC comics.
Mm-hmm.
Which I know you prefer to get the comics themselves. You know, that's one of the things you like to try to collect. But I love these reprints of these early EC stories.
That era is hard to get.
Yes, I know it is. It's very hard to get. That's why I settle for the anthologies and the reprints rather than trying to find the actual comics. That looked pretty interesting to me.
Okay. Well, there's a big gap before I found anything interesting, but it's on page 328 under It's Alive, and it's the Dunkirk one-shot. So from the pages of Combat. So each Combat one-shot features true stories from World War II illustrated by comic book legends, World War II vet, and Eisner Award nominee Sam Glasman. So this is the issue that details Dunkirk. It does the Dunkirk. It features the three main stories, Dunkirk, Sea Channel Battle, and The Last League, plus a backup story, One by Sea, and a one-page stories, The Most Deadly Air Raid, and The First Aircraft Carrier. So 48 pages, $9.99, a collection of, you know, stories from back in the day from combat. And
nice.
It's, you know, it's World War II, so I that's one of the eras I like.
Yes.
To read about and to learn about, and this is another way to do that.
Well, one page previous to that, or two pages, actually on 326, my next choice. And this shocked me when I read it, but now I'm damn interested in it. Hedy Lamarr, An Incredible Life, graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew about Hedy Lamarr as an actress, but I read the solicit. I had to go research this. I had to go out to DuckDuckGo and make sure this was an actual true story, and it is. It says, from a childhood filled with curiosity and ambition, despite the stereotypes imposed by her abusive marriage that she ingeniously escaped from, finding her way to the stardom in the new city of angels in the face of rampant sexism and harassment, Hedy Lamarr would not only become a glamorous star of the golden age of Hollywood alongside icons like Julie Garden and Clark Gable, but also as an unparalleled inventor. She would fashion designs to revolutionize the planes built by Howard Hughes and come up with a secret communication system to help the Allies against the Nazis, a technology that would become the blueprint for what we know today as Wi-Fi. So I went and looked this up, and it's true. In the beginning of Second World War, she and a pianist and composer, George Antheli, developed a radio guidance system for torpedoes that uses spread spectrum and frequency hopping technology to stop jamming of tracking. Now, the Army didn't adopt this until the 1960s for various reasons, because it was technologically difficult. But in 2014, she and this composer were inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame, and the principles of this work are incorporated into Bluetooth technology.
Yeah, I want to think I remember reading something about her and all that about a couple of years ago. It was either reading something or there was a documentary on TV or something.
Right.
But yeah, nobody ever knew. Well, I mean, they knew. It just didn't make headlines like, or as common knowledge like a lot of other stuff are.
Exactly. So I've read that and it's like, I might get this thing because I'm really curious about this now. So. Surprising what you find. Like I say, I looked at that glancing at it, and then I read it, and I'm like, that can't be true. And I went and looked at it, and it was true.
Mm-hmm. That's why we go through previews.
It is.
So my next one, and the last one I could find from this month, is on page 373, and it's Titan Comics, Static Press, and it's The Best of Inky Bilal, Monster. And I tell you, just the cover, and I mean, it's an art book. But, so in 2026, humanity is spurred onward to destruction by radical fundamentalists who can survive a world determined to wipe out thought, science, culture, and memory. this haunting prescient masterpiece. Man, I can't talk today. Is beautifully painted by award-winning creator Inky Bilal, famed artist for Heavy Metal Magazine, the Nicopol Trilogy, and Exterminator 17. And I mean, the art they're showing there, I just love the look of it.
Right.
And I just got drawn to this page and everything. So it's 264 pages, hardcover, $49.99. And it's on sale not until February, but whew, it looks beautiful.
It does. Well, I have two more books. And talking about beautiful, the next one kind of describes what interested me in this one. This is on page 334. It's called Water Snakes. This is from Lion Forge under the Aurora imprint.
I saw that. Is that a young adult?
It's Roar, I think, is a young adult imprint, but it's also got the Magnetic Collection, which I've loved everything else they've done in Magnetic Collection, including, yeah, Jazz Maynard. What interested me in it was the artwork is just gorgeous. And
yeah, that watercolor. Yeah, it looks beautiful.
It's just stunning. And I may get this just for the artwork because it's a full cover. This is a hardcover again, 144 pages, $19.99, which is for a card cover is not expensive at all. So,
is it going to have rounded corners?
I would think so. Like I think every other hardcover they put out from Lion Forge has been that way. At least the Magnetic Collection they've had. But just to kind of read the solicit here, if anybody might be interested, Mila is a solitary teenager put another boring summer vacation behind her until she meets Agnes, an adventurous girl who turns out to be a ghost. And not just a regular ghost, but one carrying the essence of an ancient fallen king and the mouth full of teeth used by his guardian warriors. And this is written by Tony Sandoval, and with art and a cover by Tony Sandoval as well. So I like that art, that wall of color. It's reminiscent of Dustin Nguyen, one of my favorite artists. So might get that. I haven't decided, but it looks intriguing. And the last one I picked, and I'm surprised you didn't see this because I thought of you the minute I saw this.
Mm-hmm.
This is on page 342, McFarland and Company. Alternate Worlds, the Illustrated History of Science Fiction, 3rd edition.
I saw that, but then I saw this introduction by Isaac Asimov, and he's been dead for 30 years, so I thought it was just a reprint of something.
It is. It's a 3rd edition, but it's still being released, so re-release. Yeah, writer by James Gunn is actually credited with writing Introduction by Asimov. Yeah, it was first published in 1975, became an instant classic. I went ahead and included it just because it is a reissue, and some people might not have had the opportunity to read it before. I haven't, so...
It is an illustrated history, so I guess it's trying to bring illustrations to stories that maybe, like your Dunes, your Foundations, your Ring Worlds, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, well, I think it's yeah, sure. But it's also probably nonfiction based. But I'm sure it's going to be doing some of that, yes.
Well, maybe I can go online and take a look and see if I can get some pictures of some of the interiors.
Right. Yeah, that would be key. Yes, well, that kind of took care of everything I had as well. So, not the most productive month in previews, but...
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of ongoings going on because there's a lot of number 2 issues, a lot of number 3 issues, 4 issues and such. So there's still a lot coming out.
Oh, yeah, there is. But as far as new stuff, yeah, it seemed thinner this month.
Well, maybe they had the manga section take up some more pages.
So if you don't have anything else, we can wrap this up.
No, I think it's a good month there for some... Like that Art of War ones, I think is the most intriguing thing I really saw out of the smaller presses that I'm looking forward to getting.
Yeah, I am too. I'm glad you pointed that out because I completely missed that going through.
Well, I think that's a good review of this month's previews.
Yes, this has been another episode of Best of the Rest. You can tweet the show at BOTR Comics. We will see you next episode.